Welcome to the closing market report for August the 29th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. He's here on site with us as we broadcast to you live from the 2006 Farm Progress Show in Amana, Iowa. Our thanks to AgriGold for inviting us into their tent for the duration of the show. The closing market report, by the way, is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids. Funding agricultural programming on AM 580 is an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialist, on the web at a6395.com or at agrigold.com. On today's program, we'll take a bit of time, by the way, to talk with the folks here at AgriGold, and we'll get an update on the John Deere equipment situation just after the bottom of the hour, of course. Meteorologist Ed Kieser will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. It's a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines in Illinois, 800-252-2013. If you're in Indiana, dial 800-637-3123 or email to Cooley at admworld.com. The numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade finished up like this on a Tuesday afternoon. September contract at 380.5 settlement price. They were down 4.25. The December futures at $4.75 in the wheat pit, down 3.5 cents for the day. Corn futures now September contract 222.75, down 1.75. December futures at 238.75 were off 2.25. And the March contract 253.5, down 2.25. December contract of next year 290, down 3 cents for the afternoon. September soybean futures down 3/4 at 537. The November's at 551. They were off a penny today. And the January futures at 563.75, down 1. November contract at 615. They were down a penny for the day. Bean meal at 158.30, down 60. Bean oil, 24.43, off 11. Feeder cattle at the Mercantile Exchange, 117.17.5. They were up 15 cents today. August live cattle at 89.40, 7.5 higher. And the October contract, 92.52.5. They're up 2.5 cents for the day. October futures 65.37.5, down 2.5 cents. That at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Of course, you know that I work for University of Illinois Extension, and usually on Tuesday afternoons, we're joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Wayne happily in his office, I assume, in New Market, but not here at the show site. And we'd like to do the whole thing from the show today. Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, made the trip to Amana, Iowa to join us and, a honking horn from the John Deere side of our, the other side of the street, I suppose, joining us on the radio this afternoon, too. Chuck, thanks much for joining us today. We appreciate you being along not only for this show, but for our panels inside at 9:30, 11, and 1 o'clock each and every day at the Farm Progress Show.
We got off to kind of a rocky start with the rain this morning, Todd, but the crowds have steadily increased, and actually the sun just peeked out of the clouds, and pretty good crowd, and farmers, you know, they're pretty good at adapting to the weather, so that's what we're seeing today.
Yeah, the best thing I think I saw, and it wasn't a particularly old guy. I saw a guy out, and he had his muddy boots on and a pair of shorts and a lot of white leg.
One thing we learned, though, if you're going to drive a vehicle, a car is not a good thing here. All of us are stuck currently, but we'll get out of here.
Oh, we haven't talked about that. Dave Dickey and Ed Kieser came out a little bit early this morning so that Ed could be out on the show site to do the programming content at, 5:35 a.m. this morning, and they got stuck on the way in, and then Joan Harshbarger, who's a secretary at the radio station, and I showed up about 7:15. I dropped Joan off as we went into the parking lot because she didn't want to have to walk through all of the mud coming out. We had a big van, and I got stopped, and I looked over at the guy, and it's a full-size Chrysler van, maybe. It's an older one from the station. And I looked over at the parking attendant, and I said, you know, I'm stopped, but the likelihood that this thing is going to start again in this soup is not good. And sure enough, it didn't. You know, they're doing really, and you got stuck too, right?
Yeah, we were stuck. Fortunately, we got a push out of that lot. It wasn't going to get any better, so we were rerouted to a different lot, so hopefully it'll be easier to get out than it was to get in.
But I have not heard, but I think that it's really the exhibitors that were having this problem, that the other lot, it sure looked that way when we're coming in this morning, that the other lot's a lot higher. and that the folks that were coming in to see the show were not having that kind of problem. But the exhibitors were down in the fog. And you said got pushed out. They have some gators and other things here, and really they don't like to hook up to your bumper, so they just mounted a rubber tire to the front end of those things, and they'd pull up behind you and put that right up on your bumper and
see,
floor
my,
it.
My daughter's new car, though, and she doesn't know this. Hopefully she's not listening to the show today, Todd, because her car is an absolute mess. She looks like I've been out mudding around. So, but, you know, it's been a fun day. You know, the crowds actually showed up pretty good, and I think a lot of enthusiasm. Tomorrow we're going to have a really good day. So the sun's out now.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay to have that detailed, even if you don't get it dirty on the inside, aren't you?
I'm in trouble.
It has been, it's been a good day, and there are a lot of people here. I'm surprised. It was slow this morning, but I think that's because it was slow getting everybody in, and then she just started to pick up. Crowds have been pretty good. It looks like tomorrow, and we'll hear this from Ed a little bit later, is going to be a pretty good day, and by the time Thursday rolls around, I think we'll have dry grounds, relatively speaking. It'll all be packed in, and it's a great show. For those who've never been out to a Farm Progress Show, we ought to explain just a bit what this is. And really, in a matter of a couple of weeks, everybody, and I do mean everybody, the Dows, the DuPonts, the Monsantos, the John Deeres, the Caterpillars, the Agcos, come in, big and small companies alike, and they put up a city that takes up a full 80 acres. And that's a big deal. You know, let's see, how big's 80 acres? 3 acres is about the size of a football field inside the stripes. So start thinking about how big 80 acres is, and that's pretty darn large. So we've got streets and avenues and we've got running water, the whole bit.
And there's everything you ever want to see about agriculture from top to bottom. And these guys got some great displays out here today. And we had a little bit of time to walk around and look around today. And, you know, it's just, again, a credit to agriculture and everybody, you know, deals with adversity, whether it be the weather, the markets or whatever. And, again, it's good to see here by this afternoon. I think we got a pretty good crowd for what we dealt with this morning.
Yeah, it's kind of like the growing season. You deal with adversity, and at the end, you still usually get a crop out of the deal, I think.
That's right. And like I say, I think we're going to see a good crowd tomorrow and the next day. And as we look around here today, you know, people continually coming into the booth, and they came and joined us to listen to the shows today.
Yeah, the shows again, and I'll tell you this a couple of times during the program, but if you're on your way out to the Farm Progress Show, drop by and see us, WILL AM 580. You can see all the information on our website at willag.org. We're in the AgriGold tent, which is located between 4th and 5th Street, right on East Avenue. And so drop by and see us at 9:30, 11 o'clock, and at 1 o'clock, each and every day of the show, we put on an ag panel. And we've got some really good analysts, just like Chuck Shelby, on hand with us. Chuck, we probably better talk about this market a bit today. You were telling me earlier that it could be an interesting week as we go through First Notice Day.
Yeah, I think Thursday, typically markets as they go into First Notice Day are kind of weak markets. I think it's kind of interesting. We've talked about this week the cash market perking up, though, is with the drop in the futures, farmers have been reluctant to sell. And the futures may drop some more as we go into delivery here, Todd, but more than likely the cash seems to be fairly perking up a bit.
You know, I'm wondering about this. Will it, you think, continue to perk up as we head into harvest, or will it set back? And I guess this is more of a concern about LDP than anything else.
And setting back at the right time of the year is really not a bad thing with the LDP. I think what we're going to see is the buyers out there know there's tight supplies. They know that we're going to see a lot of ethanol plants coming online. So it's kind of like going to an auction. Who sticks their hand up first to buy that, make that first bid? And I think as we go into harvest here, we're going to see maybe a market that can perks up into cash. Then if we get a nice clear harvest, I think the market will drop back and we'll get those opportunities for LDP.
Yeah, what's your best advice for producers in the Illinois, Indiana area, other places around the Midwest on marketing corn and soybeans at this time? Is it just simply to store and find a way to pay for it?
Yeah, I mean, holding on to it this year is the thing to do. In past years, we haven't made those recommendations, but bottom line is we've got a huge demand base coming. We've got an old crop that's still fairly sizable that's got to be dealt with. And as we get into the new year and just get past harvest, we're just pretty confident of the opportunities that holding this crop is going to pay off. The question that we'll talk about all winter is, where's that good point to let it go? How high do we need to get to meet the needs of the market and to make our sales.
All right. We appreciate you being with us, Chuck. Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joining us here on the Closing Market Report this afternoon as we come to you live from the Farm Progress Show and the AgriGold Tent. The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, and it's a proud underwriter of agricultural programming right here on WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, you can call 217-383-4600. And Ed Keyser on hand this afternoon to give us a quick Farm Progress Show weather update. And more importantly, a forecast. Hi, Ed.
Hi, it's better now than it was, I'll tell you that. The sun is starting to come out a little bit here. The rain has not fallen in the last several hours. There are some showers just south and east of the Amana colonies, and it looks like they're going to stay there now. So we're finally drying out. It is muddy, but improving conditions. And it looks like the next couple of days we're going to have a mostly sunny sky. That temperature tomorrow getting into the middle 70s, and on Thursday, we may get up close to 80 in the afternoon after morning star temperatures around sunrise in the mid to upper 50s. So a little cool early in the morning, but the temperatures will really rise over the next couple of days with sunshine prevailing. And Thursday will be the best day of the three here as we'll have a little more time to dry things out a bit.
Hey, I'll own up. I was driving this morning when we got stuck. Were you driving?
Oh, yeah. Hey, but I was told where to go by Dave Dickey. He was here yesterday. He says, go right here.
Oh, you didn't tell Dave where to go? Oh, never mind.
No, but I was driving, so he had to push.
Yeah. Oh, Dave had to get out and push this morning?
A little bit.
Oh, well, he doesn't look like he pushed this morning. We all have white shirts on. You got out and pushed this morning, Dave. Oh, that's nice. All right. Well, okay. You get to push this afternoon. That van is really stuck, my friend. I don't know we're going to have a four-wheeler to get that thing out. You guys might be easy, but I'm not going to be easy.
No, we're not easy either. We're in muck.
Oh, man, should be fun. It's been a fun day, but that's only in the exhibitor's lot. I'm fairly certain if you're coming in on the other side that thing's a little bit higher on that lot, so you might get in and be just perfectly fine if you're coming over tomorrow or the next day. Ed, we'll talk with you again just after the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
For a complete look at the forecast.
We'll be here.
Thanks much. Ed Keyser, Chief Meteorologist here at AM 580. We are live at the AgriGold Tents on the Farm Progress Show site, and we're joined by Eric Schurter, who is the Agronomy Manager at AgriGold. One of a couple, or are you the only one, Eric?
No, actually, here at AgriGold, we have numerous agronomists throughout the different marketing areas we are in, along with support teams like our specialty products team, who are working on a lot of those specialty markets out there, being in Waxy and Top Cross and a lot of the markets where growers can bring in more profitability.
Tell me about some of the traits that AgriGold has worked on over the years pretty hard and what kinds of traits you have in the corn.
Here at AgriGold, we have probably one of the most diverse lineups of traits out there that we offer to our growers, be it from the Monsanto's traits like YieldGuard Plus Roundup Ready to Clearfield to Liberty Link, Herculex traits as well. We've got a very wide array of traits out there to help meet the needs of the growers no matter where they live.
And your genetics go far back?
Our genetics go real in depth as we look at our genetics in the upcoming year right now, be it from our southern marketing area all the way to our northern tip. Just a lot of excitement out there looking at some of the new genetics and the trait combinations. Just a lot of big yields out there, and we're real proud of what we've been able to accomplish.
Well, what's a triple stack?
Well, what you're hearing in the triple stack this year is the YieldGuard Plus Roundup Ready Corn 2. Definitely gives the grower a lot of good weed-free environment with the glyphosate technology. And then you're also got that in-season plant protection, which really gives the grower the overall package.
As an agronomist, how do you caution folks when they're using BT corns or when they're using the Roundup Readies as to the things that they can and cannot do in their rotations and their mixes and how much of it they should and shouldn't plant?
Yeah, the one challenge that we've seen here over the past couple of years really is that there's so many new things out there that it takes a full-time person like ourselves, the corn specialist, to really stay on top of all this and really advise our growers of how to use the technology effectively and, of course, to meet the refuge requirements and also, too, some of the concerns of a product and how to really use it in their system.
And anything else that we ought to know about AgriGold before I let you go for the day?
Well, when you really talk to our growers out there, I think one of the things that first comes to mind is that we here at AgriGold talk about genetics first. I think when you're starting to look out here this fall as combines start to roll, you're going to see that genetics had a huge impact this year, not only on yield, but standability and the overall stay green of products. And as they start to find those genetics that they like, that really fits their management style, that's when we really start to bring in the trait technologies to maximize the total package.
Eric, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Eric Schurter is an agronomist at AgriGold. We appreciate him being with us this afternoon. AgriGold, agricultural programming. I've said AgriGold so often, I almost forgot about this. Agricultural programming on WILL, made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing farmers credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. We're lucky enough here at the Farm Progress Show to have access to lots of folks. ADM, of course, is represented, and their senior analyst, or you marketing director, Steve Freed, is with us this afternoon. Thanks, Steve. We appreciate you being here.
Great. The last thing they call me is Vice President of Research for ADM Investor Services.
Holy smokes, I really demoted you. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
That.
It happens at home a lot. So
I get demoted myself, Vice President of Research. Hey, I have a question for you. Do you know on ADM's cash bids today how far over they might be? I was told that they were over yesterday for their
cash
bids.
I don't know. I haven't seen them.
Okay.
So.
I just wondered whether you happen to have that one. We were looking for it, but maybe we'll catch that a bit later. Tell me about what you're feeling as we head through the fall season is for corn and its price, and then beans as well, please.
Well, I think that the September crop report by the USDA is going to be really critical. We've had some farm groups to go out and look at the crops in the last week or so, and they're finding corn yields a little bit below the USDA's August 1st estimate. And so if the government comes out below the August estimate, you might have, from a cash and future standpoint, the lows in for the year. We're in such a carry market that we may not rally very much through harvest, but you could see a post-harvest rally. Obviously, if the government comes out with a production number above their August estimate, we might delay any bounce in the marketplace until harvest is more over. But I think the demand structure is very strong for corn. I think in the next 4 years, we're going to have to see increased acres to satisfy the growing demand. And, long-term, that's a very positive thing for corn prices.
How much in terms of increased acre? Are we talking 2 million next year, 3 million the following year for a total of 5? What kinds of increase do you think?
The industry feels we need at least 3 or 4 million acres next year to satisfy the demand. And so, we're going to have to shift that out of soybeans.
I want to stop you there for a second. Do we have to do that, or can we just continue to increase yields and make that up?
Well, I think it's going to be a race between, if you assume that a 160 yield for the United States is the record yield, then we need the acres to satisfy the demand. If you believe the seed companies and they say they can add 6 bushels to the average crop, nothing spectacular, just average, then we may not need all those acres. So it's going to be a race between Mother Nature, the seed varieties, and the demand. And you could see a fairly wide trading range in corn futures depending upon who wins that race.
And I stopped you as you started in on the beans and what you meant to discuss.
Well, no,
I
just think that from a corn side, you're looking at 2010. If we meet all the demand forecasts, we might need 9 million acres to satisfy that demand if we still have 160 bushel yields. So I know a lot of the seed companies feel that the yield by 2012 will be as national average at 190. And so that solves a lot of the problems if we get the yields that high. But if not, we're going to need those acres.
So either we have to have a yield that high or we're going to have 88 or 89 million acres of corn?
That's the industry average on what we're forecasting demand to grow to.
And if that happens, what do we do with soybean acreage? Does it just go to
the perception is, it's interesting in that if we need to increase wheat acres, if we need to increase corn acres, down the road if we need to increase bean acres, then, somebody's going to have to lose out on that. And right now, the perception is that we'll see the decline in soybean acres.
All right. We appreciate you being with us. Thanks much, Steve.
Thanks for asking.
Steve Fried is the Vice President of Research. You can hear him on our weekend program called Commodity Week from time to time, joining us here at AgriGold this afternoon. We appreciate it a lot.
Have everybody stop by our tent.
Oh, and, yeah. Where's the ADM tent located?
Just a couple of tents down from where you are right now. It's at the corner of...
You're on Central Avenue.
Central and 6th.
Yeah, Central and 6th, so not very far away. We're on 4th and 5th Street on East Avenue. And next to us, by the way, is John Deere. And Barry Nelson is here this afternoon to join us, talk a little bit about what John Deere has under the wraps, or maybe not under the wraps at this point, and is out and new. Hi, Barry. Good afternoon to you.
Well, how are you? Yeah, we were under the wraps when it was raining this morning.
So. Yeah, we were. Hey, what's John Deere got up and new that we ought to know about?
Well, a couple things. You know, new technology is advancing very quickly here with agricultural equipment, and so we've introduced a new guidance system called iTech Pro. And in the past, what guidance could do, it was an assisted steering system called AutoTrack, would guide your tractor down the field. You wouldn't have to steer the tractor, so it would make sure you'd stay in the path that you had programmed it for. And now with iTech Pro, as the tractor comes to the end of the row and makes its turn into the headland, it will automatically also turn the tractor. So now we have a completely automated tractor. Still got to have the operator in there, but the tractor is basically... fully automated.
That's pretty amazing. Are you working on things like ganged tractors at some point where you'll have an operator in one and another one close by so you can hit a kill switch?
They're looking at some of that. They're looking at that with combines. So this whole guidance technology, precision farming technology, is really the way of the future.
Holy smokes. What is John Deere? I mean, will this adaptation, you think, take place first in the Midwest, or are there other places around the globe that might put it in place sooner than that?
Good question. Actually, California, with some of the precision farming they do out there and the different types of crops they have, it's very important. But Western Europe and Australia are also looking at some new technology to help improve the efficiency of their equipment, too.
And tell me about maybe the engines in some of these vehicles and how they adapt to biodiesel.
Well, first of all, a challenge is you have to meet emission standards, which the government sets, which we just did that in our 8030 series tractor. We just took it to Nebraska, had the Nebraska fuel test, and that tractor was 9% more fuel efficient than the tractor it replaced. We were able to do that, meet emission standards, have more power, and yet be more fuel efficient because of some new variable geometry turbochargers that we have in the engine.
What else is new at Deere that we need to know about?
We have a new 7030 series tractor. That's basically 140 to 180 PTO horsepower. Again, it's got the PowerTech Plus engines in them. It's got infinitely variable transmission, IVT transmission, so you can go 165 feet per second. That's about the width of this lot. Or I'm saying 165 feet per hour, so it'd take an hour for it to cross the lot,
yeah,
all the way up to 31 miles per hour. And you're going to start seeing some increased transport speeds with some of this equipment. Everything we're doing is to try to make that operator out there more efficient in the field.
When you're talking about transport speeds increasing, I would think you'd have to do a lot to make these things road-ready in order to get them to travel safely at higher speeds.
Absolutely, because it's not only the tractor itself, but what is that tractor pulling? Does that implement, does that manure spreader, does that gravity wagon need special brakes, or there's other issues there.
All right, Barry, we appreciate you being with us this afternoon. Thanks much for joining us here on the Farm Progress Show. You're located in the John Deere tent, which is right next door to AgriGold. So that puts you on what? I'm thinking that puts you on 4th Street and East Avenue. Thanks, Barry, for coming out. We appreciate it. Barry Nelson is with John Deere, joining us here on the Closing Market Report this afternoon as we come to you live from the Farm Progress Show in Amana, Iowa. Be sure to drop by and see us in this AgriGold tent if you happen to be out tomorrow. We'll be here, Ed Kieser and Dave Dickey and myself, along with Joan Harshbarger, who's been doing a great job. And I'm told that the sound back at the station is really good. So we want to thank the engineers and all the staff at WILL for making that happen and, of course, possible. I'll be back in just about 2 minutes with Ed Kieser to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast from the 2006 Farm Progress Show. I'm Todd Gleason.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Results released today by the College Board show Illinois high school students who took the SAT exam this year averaged 609 out of a possible 800 in the math portion. That's 3 points higher than last year. Indiana school officials say they're disappointed in the high school class of 2006 showing on newly revised SAT exams. Indiana students scored 6 points lower on reading and 1 point higher on math than students last year, reversing a long trend of gains on the test. Today is Katrina Day of Remembrance in Illinois, and Governor Rob Blagojevich is pledging the state's continued support for those displaced by the hurricane. The governor's office says the state plans to start a program in October that will offer Katrina evacuees up to 3 months of rental assistance and help pay for security deposits, utilities, and other essentials. Republican Judy Barta Pinkus says if elected governor, she'll invest an additional $100 million in resources to promote reading. Topinka says she would also promote full-day kindergarten with a $15 million program. She says school districts providing a local monetary match could get grants to help transition their classrooms to full-day kindergarten. Champaign could soon have an honorary street remembering jazz organist Jack McDuff. Tonight, the Champaign City Council will discuss a proposal to name a stretch of East Beardsley Street honorary Jack McDuff Way. McDuff, who died in 2001, grew up on East Beardsley. An Indiana State Police lieutenant killed last week during a charity bike ride in Vermilion County, Indiana, is being buried today in Indianapolis. The service today for Gary Dudley was the second in 2 days for an officer killed during the ride to raise money for the families of fallen police officers. The Warren County Board in Western Illinois voted 15-1 last night to establish a county health department. The new health department will rely on state grants and the county's TB levy. Last night's vote leaves only 3 Illinois counties, Carroll, Edwards, and Richland, that have no county health departments. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AMI 580 Agriculture, coming to you live from the Farm Progress Show. Agricultural information on AM 580, I must tell you, is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com. We're joined now by Chief Meteorologist at the radio station, Ed Keezer, to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hi again, Ed.
Good afternoon.
Thanks much for being with us. Kind of a dreary day this morning, but frankly, I'm in a really good mood, and it's starting to sunshine a little bit out there, and it's not a bad day here. It's cool, relatively speaking, feeling nice out here, and I think the next couple of days is going to be really pretty good too.
Yeah, it is feeling nice, and I think the next few days will be a lot nicer, a lot brighter than what we're having today. Today we do have the dim sunshine. There's still clouds out there, but the sun is starting to come through, and that's a lot better than the heavy rain we had this morning. And for tomorrow and Thursday, we're expecting a mostly sunny sky here. I still think there will be a good bit of cloud cover across much of Illinois and Indiana tomorrow, and in central and southern Indiana and southern Illinois on into Thursday. So the system that brought us the rain this morning is moving ever so slowly to the east-southeast, so it's going to take a while for our two-state area to completely clear out.
We ought to check a little bit further into the week because it is Labor Day weekend across the Midwest, and I do want to hear maybe a little bit about what the possibilities for harvest, early harvest, will be over that time frame.
Well, over the Labor Day weekend, we do have another weather system that's going to slowly approach from the northwest. I think that will spread into the upper Midwest as early as Friday into Saturday, but not affect Illinois and Indiana until maybe later in the holiday weekend. The problem with the forecast is Ernesto, that's the tropical storm that has now prompted tropical storm warnings for much of the Florida coast, the east coast of Florida, plus the west coast on up about halfway up. And that storm is expected to move into the mid-Atlantic states over the next couple of days and then into the northeast U.S. That's going to block the west to east progression of weather systems. So that really does put some uncertainty into the long-range forecast. Right now, I think some showers may back into Indiana, at least parts of Indiana, Saturday. So that would leave much of Illinois dry Saturday, but then places farther west in the Midwest with some showers Saturday. And eventually, things will start to move west-east, but that'll be a slow progression next week. So there will be some unsettled weather in the area as we go into next week.
Ed, we look forward to seeing tomorrow and hearing from you at what, 5:35 a.m. tomorrow morning?
That's when we plan to start, assuming we get out of here tonight and back in tomorrow. The weather's nice, but the mud's still in the parking lot.
Yeah, that field looked pretty deep in water and mud and, well, green.
It was dark. We'll see what it looks like in the daylight.
It wasn't dark when I came in. And it was dark when you came in.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It was dark when you knocked on my door this morning.
That was Dave.
Yeah, well, all right. They forgot their car pass and I had it. Thanks much. We appreciate you being with us. We're at the AgriGold Tent. I'm Todd Gleason from the Closing Market Report and the Farm Progress Show.